Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Perfect timing.
Do what? Okay. Yes, we got hecklers already. Isn't this wonderful? You know, what's Benji's dad always said? They pay me to be good, but you're good for nothing. Whoa, ba-doom boom. Thank you for coming. Do we have the verse? Can we put it up? We're working on the verse. It's preparation. You know, it's interesting. If you are a child of mine, you have been the topic of a story many, many times as I preached. And I do have a child story today, but I didn't know Nicole was going to be here, so I thought I would share one with about her that I may have shared before. But remember, we've come here first Sunday every month. What do we do first Sunday every month? I'm sorry?
Communion.
Communion. Nicole says, Dad, it's first Sunday. We're having circumcision. I went home. I didn't stay. There it is. How many of you remember singing this? And if you are Wesleyan, let's sing it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and oh my gosh, I know. And then it went on and God is so good. And yeah, we went on and on and on. I know you're wondering what this is. There's a story behind this. So we're going to talk about conditional things in our lives. Don't you love when you ask somebody to do something for you and they say, well, I'll do it on one condition? What do you think about when you think about conditions? Maybe it costs me something. It's going to take me out of my comfort zone. Well, I don't know if the condition is worth getting the favor in the first place. You know, it's funny, I borrowed money from my dad, and the condition was I would pay him back. It was $1,300, and my dad said that, you need to pay this money back. And years, months later, I said, Dad, I don't think I'll ever be able to pay you back. He said, oh, don't worry about it. That's money I borrowed from my dad, and I never paid him back. He said, you will pass it on. And I have. So, isn't that a wonderful thing? So you don't have to pay your parents. I'm sorry. You don't have to pay your parents back. This side of the room has to pay your parents back. But those conditions, we look at it, but we live in a life of conditions. We raise our children on conditions. Right? I will give you money on one condition. You clean your room. How many has given your child money to clean their room? Or you've given them a privilege back. Okay? And it goes opposite. I will not give you money, but I will take away, let's say I'll take away your phone if you don't clean your room. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah? So it goes the other way too. Or how about when you bring a report card home, I'll give you $5 for every A you have on your report card. Yeah. Benji told me that his dad promised him that and never gave any money away. No, he didn't say that. I just sounded good though. But I was close, right? Andy, can I tell the story? Andy Bradshaw brought his report card home one time. He didn't even say, yes, I'm telling you anyway. Brought his report card home, and he hadn't gone to school lick, and it had all I's for incomplete, right? So Andy, being the creative guy, cuts the attendance record off the bottom of the report card, gives it to his mama, and he says, Mama, look what I got. And she goes, what are all the I's for? He goes, intelligent. Yeah, she framed it and gave him money. And then his sister found out and threw him under the bus. I loved Andy. I knew Andy's mom and dad, and I loved them. And Andy will tell the story that his mama, when she got upset, would take that napkin and just start doing this. And he knew he was in trouble when she started crunching that. That's not what this is for, but started crunching that napkin up. But we do things on condition. We have things like, okay, I'll give you money on one condition, children. Your teeth fall out. Don't we do that? Don't we pay for their teeth to fall out? And when we're old, we pay to keep them in? Does that make sense to us? But everything's conditional. But we serve an unconditional God. Or do we? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That was unconditional. We didn't do anything to earn the gift of Jesus Christ. That was God's unconditional love for the world. And you will not perish and have eternal life on one condition. What's that? That you believe. You have to believe. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to have eternal life and never perish. That's the condition. Right? It'll be given unto you on one condition. What is it? Ask. Remember? You'll find it on one condition. You have to seek. The door will be open on one condition. You have to knock. You want the devil to flee from me? There's one condition. You have to resist the devil. That's what he says. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So today we're going to look at this verse. We're going to start and work it backwards, kind of. It says, "And He shall direct your paths." He shall give you direction. Who wants God to direct your paths of your life? So those of you that didn't raise your hands, I'm just assuming you just don't raise. You're I don't raise my hand kind of person. Because I pray that all of you want God's direction and want Him to direct your lives. But it's conditional. You see, because we go back to the first one, it says, trust in Him with all your heart. Lean into your, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all His ways, and then He will direct your lives. So it's conditional. How many trust God? Everybody. I'm going to pretend everybody raised your hands. You know it's being videotaped. Not really. You know, a preacher's worst nightmare is they turn the microphone on while you're singing praise and worship. That's your worst nightmare, right, Kenny? You're afraid they're going to turn it on and then everybody's going to hear you say, "God is so good." That'll come out all over. That's what we're afraid of. I just got to thinking today, what if he's not playing it here, but he's recording everything I say to all of you? I think I'm safe today. But there had, oh my gosh, did you see, oh, what's his name? Doesn't he look, he doesn't even have his teeth in today. Have you seen him? And you're afraid that that's being recorded. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all want to believe and we all want to proclaim and we all say that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Our money says what? In God we trust. Do we as a nation? If somebody came in and observed our nation from the outside, they never heard of America, it's the first time they've seen it, and they look at it and they say, oh, that nation, they trust in God. I don't think so. How about as a family? Can they see your family and say, oh, well, I know by the way that family's structured. I know by the way that they follow the order of God's commands. I know by the way that their children act that they trust in the Lord. I know that. The whole family. I can just tell that. But see, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all your life. Every aspect of your life. With your marriage, with your financing, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your relationships, With every word that proceeds from your mouth, you trust in the Lord. With everything you watch on TV, you trust in the Lord. It reflects His character. With all your heart, with your entire life, that is condition number one. Now what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, we're going to leave, and as soon as you get that one down, I want everybody to come back in the room and we'll finish. We don't have that one down, do we? I don't. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I try. You know, remember when David was fighting Goliath and he had those stones, those polished stones, and he had that sling, and they said, oh, what's this little Mickey Mouse of a guy going to do fighting this giant? And he says, you know what? I trust in the Lord. It's what he said. And they put all this armor on him. He couldn't hardly walk, and he's walking like this. And he took it off, and he says, no. See, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. He said, the Lord has already won the battle. That's how much he trusts him. Anybody got battles in your life right now? You know what? The Lord's already won them. Already. So you can trust in him with all your heart. David trusted in him. Job trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. Even though he lost his children and his living and his possessions and everything. Got to hang on to that wife, though. You see, Job's wife, while Job was trusting in the Lord with all of his heart, his wife was leaning on her own understanding. We do that. We lean on our own understanding. Have you ever talked to somebody that says, well, I don't believe in God? I'll say, why? Well, just because I don't. That's called self-righteousness. You've developed a thought of righteousness, a mode of salvation, a mode of righteousness by yourself, and that's called self-righteousness, and you think that that overrides God's righteousness. I read it today, and I'll read it to you. And Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Even though that we think that we are smart as God, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not. And you might say, I never proclaimed to be as smart as God, but we'll stop acting like it. Because that's when we lean on our own understanding. See, David did this as well. Except now it was Bathsheba. Do you think David had any doubt in his mind that that was wrong? He knew it was wrong. But he leans on his own understanding. He starts justifying his sin. That's a dangerous place to be when you start justifying sin. Have you ever justified sin? Baby, does this dress make me look fat? I didn't hear that, but... See, I think that question is of the devil. That's what I think. I think Satan made you ask that question because God would never put us in a position like that. Went to the doctor. He said, you're fat. I said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're ugly. But we lean on our own understanding. And what happens when we lean on our own understanding, it crumbles and we fall. We can't do it. And we can't do both. We can't trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean on into our own understanding. We cannot do both. Now, I don't know what David was thinking. Well, actually, I do know what David was thinking. It was pretty obvious. He's sitting there, probably should be out to battle with the rest of his people. And he's out there and he's looking around. And all of a sudden he sees this beautiful woman over there bathing. And he starts thinking on his own understanding. I'll just invite her over and we'll be friends. I think one thing leads to another. And she's with child. So his own understanding was, we'll bring Uriah in here and I'll talk to him and have him go home. But you see, Uriah trusted in the Lord. He trusted in David. He trusted not in his own understanding, but he fell asleep at the door of David to protect him, which was more important than going home and being with his wife, which was the plan of David. That was his own understanding. I'll make this go away because I'll trick the circumstances. And that doesn't work. So in his own understanding, he sends him off to war and puts him on the front line and he gets killed. But then he gets caught. The great prophet comes to him and tells him a parable about a little sheep. Makes him feel bad. And David says, oh my gosh, whoever did that, we need to kill him. And the prophet looked at him and said, that's you. That's your understanding. This is where it got you. It could be the same for us. We're sitting there. We should be out mowing the grass. But we're watching something. And something comes on, and we know we should flip that channel. But we don't. Because our understanding is, anybody ever said, I can quit anytime I want? Anybody ever said that? I can quit anytime I want. I don't care what it is. Drinking, smoking, chewing, eating. I can quit anytime I want. Problem is, we don't ever want to. Because that's our understanding. We lean on our own understanding. He says you got to trust in the Lord. You got to trust in Jesus with all of your heart. Every aspect of your life. Every single aspect of your life. You have to trust in Him. And none, I start to say none aspects of your life. That's good grammar. But none of our life can we lean on our own understanding. It has to line up with God's will. Keep in mind, that's only if you want God to direct your paths. Only if you want God to be the orchestra leader of your paths, the director of your life. Now, if He has been so far, this isn't for you. But for everybody that's here today, I'm guessing that if God would have directed our lives, that maybe some of the things that didn't turn out quite like they did and not quite like we liked them might have turned out a little bit different. I know you can't control everything. You know, I know sickness is sickness. I know some are brought on by actions of our own. But some is brought on just because we live in a fallen world. I understand that. But see, that's God's control. Do you know it's your job to pray and God's job to answer it? It's not your job to answer prayer. And then it says, thirdly, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. That means to know Him in all your ways. That means to experience Him in all your journey of life. The word there means to experience. So I want to rephrase that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your life, in all your journey, experience Jesus. Last night at Bible study, we watched a video that we had seen about seven or 8 months earlier And none of us hardly remembered seeing it because we are that way sometimes when you get to be over 60 years old. I have preached on this many, many times, or taught on it, on this verse. I have sang it 5,000 times. But I want to tell you, I've never looked at this sentence right here in all your journey, experience Jesus. I've never looked at it that way. And I've been pondering and thinking about this for a couple of weeks. What is it like to experience Jesus? What is it really like to experience Jesus in our life? And what does it mean to really, really acknowledge Him or experience Him or know Him? What does that mean to really know Him? It's not saying know of Him. Because a lot of people know who Jesus is. But it says experiencing Him. And I was thinking of things in the Bible. Who experienced Jesus? And I thought about Paul on his way to Damascus. Remember? He's going over there to deliver letters to persecute and put in jail the people of Jesus. That's what the followers of Christ, that is his desire. That's what his job is. That's his calling in his life. That is his leaning on his own understanding. That's what Paul's doing. And he's right. Because he thinks so. And then he experienced Jesus along his journey. You see what happened there? Do you see what happened to Paul? He was blinded. You know why he was blinded? So he had to depend on Jesus. I gotta tell you, there's times in my life, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous. There's times in my life when I think, man, I wish I'd have a heart attack so I'd take better care of myself. You ever wanted something to happen so you'd have a reason to change? A lot of you are nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. That's ridiculous. I don't want to have a heart attack. But sometimes I wish things would happen that would get my attention. We were talking last night about life sometimes becomes that Groundhog Day. You ever watch that movie? Where it's the same thing over and over and over and over. But if you'll notice in that movie, he actually changes things as he moves along. So we need to experience Jesus. I was looking up the word acknowledge. And it means know. It means experience. But it talks about knowing in an intimate way. It's used one other place, and I will keep it very, I'll just say what it says. In Genesis 4, acknowledge is the word they use here. In Genesis 4, 1, he uses the word relations. It said, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived. That's the closeness, that's the intimacy that we want to have a relationship with Jesus. We read this thing, and it says, okay, trust God, not myself, and give him the credit. That's kind of the way we read it sometimes. And let's just trust God, not ourselves, and we'll give him all the credit. I'll tell you, one time I had got an award, but I don't think I've ever gotten an award. But you see those guys on TV? I'd like to thank my mom and my dad and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not acknowledging Jesus. Acknowledging Jesus is experiencing Jesus in your life. And you want to know how to experience Jesus in your life? Trust Him and not yourself. You've got to trust Him. And then He will direct your paths. Chris, I'm not going to play that song. I changed my mind all of a sudden. But we were going to play the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah, and I was thinking Elijah was going to be in here. I was going to let him direct it, because if you have never noticed, Elijah and a lot of autistic children have special gifts, and his special gift is rhythm. I don't know what it is, but I have videos of him at the band, high school band, and he's up there directing them. And he's directing them, and he does the soft spot, and he come over here, and they'll look over here, and they'll get bigger and bigger, and he will direct him. But that's how God wants to direct your life. In the grandiose parts, he wants to be big and make it like this. And in the short, quiet times, he wants to be a whisper to you and tell you, turn here, go straight, don't make that decision. Don't watch that show. Don't move in with her. Save yourself for me. You see, that's the directions he's given us. And when we disobey that and we go the other way, I believe we take ourselves out of the condition, the positioning for him to bless us. And part of his blessing is directing our lives, our paths. I've said this before and I'll say it again, and if I hurt your feelings, I apologize. But if you don't save yourself for marriage, you are cheating yourself out of a blessing from God that you can no otherwise get. There's only one blessing to one couple on their wedding night. One time. That's the special blessing that God is waiting to give you. If you rush that, you can't have that blessing. Now, I'm not saying God can't bless you, but there's a special blessing from owing nobody no money that you can't realize until you're in that position. Until your condition lines up with those guidelines. You cannot realize God's blessing. And if you're saying, well, you know what? I trust in God in most of my life, and I lean on my understandings just when it's mundane, and I always give God the credit, and he's directing my paths. You might believe that, but there's a better waiting on you. There's a better life. There's a better direction. There's a better influence of God in your life waiting on you. But you have to position yourself to realize it. So don't fool yourself to think it's as good as it gets right now. And I said that with my wife in the room. Because it can be better, honey, if we trust in God with all of our hearts and all of our lives. And he'll direct our paths. Aaliyah, I should have called you Vanna. That would have been more cooler, wouldn't it? Let's go over here. Let's give Aaliyah a big hand. Remember, you cannot fall down. Because if you do, Kenny will be really mad if you get blood on this carpet. So we don't want that. Do you trust me?
Kind of?
Wow, that's kind of like we trust God, isn't it? Kind of? Now here's something, Aaliyah. Somebody, you all can look around. You can't see, can you? Look at me. Can you see me?
No.
All right. Somebody's going to stand up and they have this coin in their hand. Okay? Somebody's going to stand up in the church and they have this coin. And they're going to hold this coin way up in the air. All right? I want you to go find it. Good luck. Aaliyah, Leah, over here. Really, up here. It's over here. Have you found it? Are you quit already? All right, stay right there. You see what happens when you lean on your own understanding? And then you have all these temptations calling you from the right and from the left, and you want to turn this way, and you want to turn that way. But there's a better way. And that better way is trusting in the Lord, because then He will direct your paths. Aaliyah, do you need somebody to direct your paths? Do we have a volunteer? Michael, where are you? There he is. Over here, Aaliyah. Over here. No. Over here. Seriously, it's over here. Do you get what I mean? Did that make sense to you? Because when you let God, thank you so much. When you let God direct your paths, oh, here, he can have this. He needs that. It's from Promise Keepers. When you let God direct your paths, you don't have to worry about the temptations calling you here, because if you trust in Him with all your heart, He will direct you to where you need to be, where He wants you to be. You see, when I yelled at her before, she stopped and tried to figure it out. When He was guiding her and I yelled at her, she just kept going forward. Stand with me if you would, and just bow your heads. We're not going to do anything weird or anything. Just stand with me and let's pray. Father, first of all, thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction to the Bible, to your word. And Lord, you understand how hard it is for us to put all of our trust in you. But the good news is you've already given us the results. Father, we want to experience you in our lives. We want to experience you in such a way that we don't want to trust in ourselves. We want to experience you like Paul experienced you. On that road to the wrong direction, and you come and reveal yourselves to us, that we might hold on tight to you. We might trust you, take refuge in you, follow you all the days of our lives, that you might lead us just with your eyes closed, head bowed, or I don't care if your heads are bowed, with your eyes closed, don't look around. If you want to experience Jesus in that way, just raise your hand real quick, all over the room. I'm telling you, you can experience Jesus that way in your marriage, in your personal life, in your relationship with your children, but you have to trust God, because He's not going to give you a snake. He loves you so much, unconditionally, that He gave His Son for you. Stop trusting yourself and start trusting Him, because He will direct your paths. It's in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.